EMTs and paramedics provide life-saving medical care, often on little rest. Last month, an emergency medical services worker in the state of Indiana fell asleep while driving a patient to the hospital. She ran a red light and crashed into another car, killing her partner. 90.5 WESA Sarah Bowden reports on a new set of suggested guidelines on EMS fatigue prevention from the University of Pittsburgh that aim to avoid future tragedies.
It's about a quarter to midnight on a Sunday at the Northwest EMS Helen Street Station in McKees Rocks, and EMT Ed Kiesling just clocked out after working a 40-hour shift.
I have not changed my clothes since 6 a.m. Saturday, 6 a.m. Saturday, so I'm going to take a shower.
During those 40 hours, Kiesling says he slept about 3.
How do you stay awake?
Caffeine.
Last month, the University of Pittsburgh published a package of guidelines on reducing work-related fatigue among EMS workers like Kiesling. The guidelines were written by a panel that included experts in emergency medicine, sleep health, and risk management. They faced a challenge.
The body of evidence focused solely on emergency medical personnel, the clinicians, paramedics, and EMTs, is very sparse. So if we decided to make a recommendation or a guideline based solely on EMS workers, there would not be much evidence.
Pitt's Daniel Patterson, an assistant professor of emergency medicine, is the lead author. The panel looked at decades of data from shift workers, including nurses, nuclear power engineers, and aviation workers. They outlined 5 guidelines, including allowing naps and providing access to caffeine, as Kiesling has at Northwest EMS. The 3rd guideline recommends limiting shifts to less than 24 hours. But Patterson acknowledges this isn't always possible.
For instance, the very rural and remote EMS organizations who may have one dispatch, one patient encounter every other day, it doesn't make financial sense to have shifts that are less than 24 hours.
The city of Pittsburgh has the largest EMS organization in the region. Shifts are 8 hours long. Chief Robert Farrell says even with those relatively short work days, his staff still suffers from fatigue because many first responders work for multiple agencies.
The pay's not great, and they have to do that to make ends meet. So even though they might only be working a 40-hour week with you, they're working somewhere else for 24 hours or a 12-hour weekend here and there. And that needs to be taken into account looking at the big picture.
Farrell adds that some on his staff will come home after an overnight shift and then take care of their kids. So even those with 40-hour weeks are often not getting enough sleep. The 4th guideline advises educating EMS providers about the dangers of fatigue and how to get better sleep. And the final recommends that agencies use survey tools to measure and track fatigue. This way, supervisors can identify when their workers are getting sleepy. But this might be hard to implement. Ed Kiesling's coworker, Wes Dornbacher, is sipping on a cup of coffee, which he takes with 2 creams, 2 sugars, and a bit of vanilla. Dornbacher says EMS workers aren't very willing to admit their limits, and therefore, they may not be honest about rating their fatigue level, which can be dangerous. For example, one night, back when he was working for an agency in Erie County, Dornbacher was riding shotgun while his partner was driving the ambulance.
And he was running off probably 2 days without sleep. And we were getting off the interstate, and we went up and over an island.
Thankfully, no one was hurt.
But honestly, that could have been a lot worse with the right conditions. So sleep is something always, like, any chance I get it.
I'm Sarah Bowden, 90.5 WESA News.
WESA's Bridges to Health covers the well-being of Pennsylvanians and is funded by the Jewish Healthcare Foundation.